The last stanza reads, "What peace, what joy was mine at the cross of the Savior. I praise it, hallelujah, it is pure sunshine. Indeed, he has brought us peace. And I believe it was also a joy in him that he was able to bring everything to a wonderful finish, that redemption was accomplished for you and for me." And then the hymn writer says, "Sunshine of grace shines daily in the heart of mine, for where Jesus' love shines, it can no longer be dark." The thoughts came to me, after all, you come in contact with various people, and sometimes also with believers, and with those who claim to be believers. We don't want to judge them, but you realize that it's not always the way they say it is, or the way they claim to be. Yes, perhaps one can say, or can sing along with the songwriter, "Sunshine of grace shines daily in my heart." But we must all ask ourselves, even those of us here tonight, whether it is like this in our hearts, or whether God's grace is not present every day. But I think, here it says, "For where Jesus' love shines, it can no longer be dark." All darkness, all discord, everything that is not of God must give way. For the Lord only dwells in a heart that serves him fully and completely and believes him wholeheartedly. And so we are gathered here this evening to believe and trust him again, to hear what he has to say to us through his precious and holy word. I would like to be brief, because I can see that there are visitors here. After all, Brother Frank is here, and he will then speak to us. But before we pray, I would like to read a word of God from the Gospel of John, from chapter 6, from verse 32. Here it says, the Lord himself speaking, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. These are marvelous words. The Lord Jesus is speaking to the crowd here. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my heavenly Father giveth you the true bread." And then he goes on, "But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." And then they said, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And this bread was there. It was there. And then the Lord said, "I am the bread of life." And when he told them that, brothers and sisters, they may have changed their minds. They will have changed their minds. Because when we read verse 41, there it says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said these words. And yet he had come and was the bread of life. He himself says it here. And the Lord said unto them, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And then he goes on, but I say it unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. They have seen the bread of life. They have tasted of the Lord's grace. They have seen with their own eyes all that he has done. Yet there were some among them who did not believe. But what does it come down to? Essentially, faith. This is what the Lord was looking for among them. But he had to say, but I say it unto you, that ye have seen me, and still do not believe. And here now the marvelous thing that became so great to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is something marvelous. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will. Brothers and sisters, how many there are today who might go and say they want to do the will of God. But we see that the Lord Jesus did not come on his own initiative, but by the sending of the Father he came to carry out the will of the one who sent him, not his own will, but the will of God. How many go and want to do something? In our day, in all times, they want to do something, but not so with the Lord. But he has come to carry out what he has been commissioned to do. And if we have read Brother Branham's sermons correctly, he said, no one should enter the platform or go to do anything unless God has appointed him and given him a commission. And we see here that the commission was given to the Lord. He did not come of his own accord, but was sent. And so we see further in the Holy Scriptures, all the apostles, they did not go forth on their own, but they were commissioned. They were commissioned by the will of the Lord. And those who do not have the will of the Lord, but go their own way to carry out something themselves, go their own way and will perhaps be punished in the end, because they went to do something they were not supposed to do. But those who are ordained by God, they know their calling and their election and know what kind of commission God has given them. Many go. You are not supposed to say anything, but I've been somewhere in these last days and I was told that a man had gone and bought a huge tent and wanted to do great things for the Lord, but didn't have the right money for it. And now he's running around begging here and there to do something. Brothers and sisters, I think that when God gives a commission, he also gives the means and provides what is necessary. And so we are grateful to God that we can look to the Lord and to the one whom the Lord sends, because we know that when He takes something into His hands, then no one needs to worry about it. Then He takes care of His course. And for this we are glad and grateful. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. But when He told them all these things that were commanded Him, which was the will of God, they did not like it, and they did not believe what He said to them, and they began to murmur. Why? Because it was not according to their ideas. But they expected something else. They expected that when the Lord comes, He will do what they thought He would do. Brothers and sisters, it is still the same today. Many believers think that God has to do what they think is right. But God is not bound to anyone. But He has come, even in our time, in our days, and has made His will known. And we are so happy and grateful for that. And we don't need to be conceited or to be puffed up, but we know that His will be done, even in our days. We are so grateful for these precious words. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. These are marvelous and glorious words, words of God, words of eternal life, words of confidence. And we can lean on them and base ourselves on them. And we can believe them with all our heart, because we know that what the mouth of the Lord has spoken, He will perform. And if He has left us to believe His word, then we cannot but believe His word. And also what He has spoken in these days through His servant and prophet, let us take it to heart and believe it. And let me tell you something. I have spoken to a person and he has accepted the message. You know, he believes the message with all his heart. But he who truly believes the message with all his heart will no longer be understood by all the others. He is set apart. The Lord has separated him for himself. Yes, he has ordained him for eternal life. And I spoke to this person and he said, you know, I have such assurance. After I accepted this message, and since I've believed it, I have such assurance. He says, when the Lord comes, I know I will be there. I know, he says, I will be ready when he comes, because I believe the message. And everyone else is angry with him, because he believes with all his heart. And he says even more, I have believed and the Lord has healed me. I have read, he says, and I have believed the message, and I believe that it is the word for this time. He repeated it several times, and he says, the others tell me to put it away, to throw it away, to burn it. No, I can't, he says. I believe it with all my heart, and this is my joy, and this is my peace, he says. Brothers and sisters, do you see the difference? And the sad thing is, the others who tell him that, call themselves believers, call themselves Pentecostals. Do you know that? Isn't that sad? But what is it? It's like the times of the Lord. He came, he went on, but they stuck to their opinion, to their thinking, to what they had imagined, and did not believe the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we must not stop at our opinion, not stop at our thinking, but we must believe the will of the Lord and what He has spoken in these last days. Let us worship now. Let us rise up to it. Heavenly Father, we thank You with all our hearts for this hour of grace this evening. We thank You from the bottom of our hearts that you have called us in these last days, that you have given us your word by grace, Lord, and we are united with those whom you have especially set aside in these last days. Lord, you have given grace, and that makes us so happy when we come together with people. We see what you are doing to individuals here and there, O Lord. We worship you and thank you from the depths of our hearts, O Lord, that you are at work. Your word is effective. It does not return void. You are calling them out. You have come, Lord, to draw to yourself those who are destined, Lord. Thanks be to you, and praise and honor to your wonderful name. Lord, I thank you with all my heart for the glorious meetings that are behind us, for all the precious words that we heard by your grace. We thank you for helping our brother. Oh Lord, we are so glad, Lord. We also thank you, Lord, for blessing all the people who came in such great numbers. Oh Lord, we worship you and praise your glorious name. Also tonight, Lord, may you continue to speak to us. Lord, may you bless us from the riches of your grace. May you bless all who have come and all who could not come, Lord. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. What we have sung is true. What we have read and what we have heard is true. Everything that comes from God is true, builds up, blesses, and helps. I read on in the Gospel of John, in chapter 13, Brother Rus emphasized the commission, and it certainly says here somewhere in the Gospel of John, in chapter 13, after the Lord spoke about the washing of the feet, it says here from verse 19, now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me.
I read the two verses, John 13, verse 20, and verse 19. Wenn wir darüber nachdenken,
when we think about it, as we just heard, that the Lord came to do the will of God. And we know very well that if someone is employed by a company, then it is his job building up this company as part of his work. In every company, whether small or large, everyone who is employed there is an employee. They have only one task, to fulfill what has been assigned to them, to carry out their work for the employer who has put us to work. And so it is in the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, he said that the Father had sent him not to do his will, but the will of the Father. Here he spoke as a prophet. Here he spoke as the Son of Man, who could have made his own decisions according to his human nature. But he subordinated human nature to divine nature, his will to God's will, and carried it out. The same applies to all of us. We can talk about the will of God. The question is whether we are prepared to do it. Here we all have to move our right hand and raise it a little higher and place it on our chest and ask if we are ready to do it. God will give us grace to do His will, just as He has given us grace to know His will. And by revealing His will to us, He let us know that we are destined to do His will through us. God does nothing unless it has a meaning and purpose. And as surely as God has spoken to us and introduced us to His Word, God has certainly connected a great eternal purpose with it, so that His will can be done through us by grace. And we then say, like Paul, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. When I sometimes think of the frailty and weakness in which the word is sown, I feel very miserable. And then I am struck by the thought that even if the sower were just a breath and did not weigh anything, it is not the sower that matters, but the seed that he sows. A great, mighty sower can come. And what seed does he sow? That is the question. So, it doesn't just depend on the fact that someone sows, and not even on the sower, but on the seed, on the precious divine seed that divine sowers carry. And we know what Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So, no human being has the slightest room for self-glory. But when we have accomplished everything and are aware of our frailty and weakness, we say at the end, Lord, we are useless servants. We would have preferred that you had found someone else to use. But God always takes whoever he wants, and he doesn't ask the one he takes or the others if he can take him. He makes the choice, puts the words in the heart and mouth, anoints with the Holy Spirit, and lets the word go out and penetrate, and it will not return void, but will accomplish what it was sent to do. I was happy for all of you who have been with us these days, that you can see what is happening in other places. And perhaps you will now understand a little if I occasionally touch on the thought of withdrawing a little and giving my commitment elsewhere. You need a certain freedom of spirit to be able to serve unburdened. And perhaps I should ask you whether I can take this freedom from God here in order to proclaim the infallible Word of God with all my heart and soul, and whether you are all ready to believe this word and turn away from everything and look to the Lord and trust Him and pray together for the victory and the blessing that God has long wanted to give. It's not because of God. God doesn't have much in common with time. God is from eternity to eternity. We are temporal creatures. And we can believe that He fulfills everything He has planned over the course of time. May God bless us tonight. Bless us with the guidance of His Spirit in our prayers, that we do not offer a prayer to the Lord as usual, but prayers that gather around and move around what moves us at the moment and lay it before the Lord. I believe the greatest thing that moves us is that God wants to come into His own. And believe me, Brother Branham said in one sermon, I can't imagine a believer having a conversation with an unbeliever without talking about the grace of the Lord. And I tell you, it has to get there, that these things must come first again. I had a conversation somewhere last night. There was a doctor so-and-so and his wife and a man from the court, and we were sitting together, and I couldn't help it. I just had to start with the fact that the Lord has given a commission and that He is doing something at this time. I didn't recognize myself. I thought, oh my gosh, what will people think of me now? I don't care. Let them think what they want. May people on that day have no excuse, but know that God has done something in this time. And not just something, but great things God has done on many, many by grace. We have some more prayer requests here that we will also lay before the Lord. In connection with a prayer request for Brother Jackson, Brother Luke had asked us to greet you most sincerely. And he asked that tonight we should ask God to give him the instruction he is waiting for. That's all I'm saying. He's waiting for an instruction that God wants to give him. Basically, it's the same with us here. We want God to give instruction. On the other hand, we can't possibly lay our hands in our laps. It says, work until I come. Work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And when God gives us grace and raises us up again, let us do so to the honor and glory of His name. We also want to remember all those who have heard God's word in the past days, and especially you who were in Zurich have seen how wonderfully God has helped us. Believe me, in situations like this, it is not a person's deliberation and decision. You stand up and you don't know what's coming, and suddenly it comes and comes, and you sit there and it comes while you are sitting there. Praise the Lord, because that was the order. It came while I was sitting down, and then of course when I stood up. But God was faithful, wasn't He? Who was all there? You were all there. I wish everyone had been there. God blessed us. May God bless you and reward you for taking all this upon yourselves and making the journey, which involved great expense. And to you who were here and could not travel and remembered us in your prayers, God bless you. Yes, may the Lord bless us together from the riches of His grace. Can you believe tonight? Can you believe that God is faithful? That He will never leave us nor forsake us? Let us look up to Him in perfect faith. He will reveal Himself. Even if we have to wait, it doesn't matter. We will see the glory of God. I simply want to see and experience church services in which no human being needs to help, but we are all helped by God. If we can't give God much honor, let us honor Him by believing Him. I believe that God is very pleased when we believe Him. That's all we can do. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he became heir to the promise. You and I believe God, and this has been accounted to us for righteousness, and we are rightful heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ by grace. God has spoken to us, and we know whom He has sent and whom He has used to deliver the last message to us by grace. May God bless us all now. Let us stand and pray. May it be in short and fervent prayers. Heavenly Father, we thank You with all our hearts for this hour of grace, and also for this time of grace that You are giving us in these days. O Lord, we are so grateful for all the precious words that You speak to us, that You enlighten us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we worship You even tonight, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your mighty work in many people these days. We thank You, Lord, that you are still at work and still calling out here and there those who belong to you, Lord. We worship you and praise your name, faithful God. We also come with all the prayer requests, Lord, all who have written, all who have commended themselves to be prayed for, who are sick, who are afflicted, Lord. But Lord, we know you are mighty and you are present everywhere in this hour, Lord. Even with Brother Jackson, Lord, faithful God, you are able to do all things, Lord, in the twinkling of an eye. Lord, not that we should dictate you, Lord, but would you reveal yourself to your people, Lord? Would you speak? Would you make yourself known, Lord? We praise you, Lord, and ask you, Lord, to show yourself mighty as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we have heard again what you are doing on the individuals who bear witness of your grace. Hallelujah. Praise be to your marvelous and glorious name of Jesus. Amen. I also want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I'm sure many others, for what you have done. Who are we? As Job said, who we dwell in houses of clay. We ourselves are a heap of mud, a house of clay. My God, after the flesh, the body, but in the soul and in the spirit, we are sons and daughters of God, raised to the divine state. Hallelujah. Who can grasp it? And who can express it? Beloved Lord, take us all, bless all who have heard your word, and we pray for order in your kingdom. My God in heaven, how much longer should everyone do what they want, speak what they want, go wherever their thoughts take them? My God, create order in your house, order in my heart, in my soul, in my house, in your house, everywhere. Lord, get things in order. And if you have to take the whip, overturn the tables, and many an unpleasant thing befall us, Lord, if only you come to your right and your will can be done, it shall be okay for us. Beloved Savior, I would like to have lived on earth to do thy will. I ask you, Lord, to give me all the time and grace I need. And as you yourself said, I have come to do the will of the one who sent me. Who am I, wretched man, who may come before your face to say to you, Lord, I am here to do thy will because you sent me. Worship and glory be to your name. Amen.